We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
RWTIC. One of the things that is so frustrating about our country, and I think that makes the Democrats particularly worthy of a lot of the wrath that they get from the right, is that the rigged system that Bernie Sanders identified a few years ago to great acclaim, that language resonated. And I think it's because the rigged system haunts us, that these motivations lying underneath the surface make a mess of what's going on the surface. And nobody tells the truth, of course, because they've rigged the system for a reason. They want to keep those riggings invisible to the general public so they don't get blamed for the problems they create. Here to help sort that out right now with our supply chain crisis, as it is called, is an expert on the subject, Mario Loyola. He's a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the director of the Environmental Finance and Risk Management Program of Florida International University. Mario, thanks for joining us on WTIC.
Great to be with you, Tom. Good morning.
So you've got this wonderful column you did a week or so ago, a little longer maybe, for the National Review, where you lay out a bunch of these supply chain issues, and it's seemingly endless, the policymaking that is done to satisfy political relationships, but messes up the world. And I wonder if you could just go through and maybe make a list of the top several of these perverse kinds of incentives that are making a mess of the marketplace right now.
Yeah, there's a bigger picture of how people often lose of how we got here in the first place. And you know, it goes back many decades, but I think the key thing to understand about the supply chain, and the key first thing to understand about the supply chain, is we had a dramatic drop in demand for goods of all kinds during this pandemic that really clobbered the economy. The pandemic's largely over, so demand is back, and supply is having a real difficulty snapping back as quickly as demand has come back. But what's keeping supply from snapping back quickly is that the supply chains are very brittle, and the reason the supply chains are very brittle is because at every step in that supply chain, you've got some massive, you know, you've got some very stifling set of government regulations that is constricting the ability of the market to adjust rapidly. And a great example of that is the ports, where you have longshoremen's unions that have locked down port capacity for decades. Because of those unions, the United States has no ports in the 50 most efficient ports in the world. Its ports are basically third world. There are ports in Kenya and Tanzania and Africa that are rated higher than the Port of Los Angeles. And then you have the problem of, California has passed a law making it basically turning all independent contractors into employees that have to have full benefits.
When did that happen?
That law passed a year or two ago. It's been stayed by the courts for truckers because the truckers sued immediately to make sure that this didn't apply to them. And unless the Supreme Court agrees to hear the case, it could go into effect any day for those truckers. But in the meantime, you know, there's all kinds of regulations on.
Yeah, what's the Jones Act? Can you describe what the Jones Act is?
Oh, so the Jones Act is one of the worst laws in America. It is a law. It's I think it turned 100 this year or last year, 100 years old. And basically what the law does is it says that any ship that's traveling between two American ports has to be owned by Americans, made in America, and crewed by, and it has to have an American crew. And what that does is it makes the what's called the coastwise shipping trade, which is shipping between any two American ports, it makes it so expensive that what freight shippers do instead is they use railways and roadways to ship all this stuff.
So is that a union-driven thing to keep the cost of labor high?
Yeah, that's a well. It's not a union-driven thing, but yeah, it's the maritime industry. The incredible shrinking maritime industry has a lock on this law and prevents any reforms to it, even though the law has made the American shipping sector, the ship manufacturing sector, totally uncompetitive internationally. And in fact, there's no private. This is an amazing fact. There are no private shipbuilders in the United States anymore of ocean-going vessels that are not being kept afloat by defense contracts.
Yeah, but what's the constituency that I'm looking for who to blame? And I want to know who the number one culprits here are in rigging the system to be so destructive. So yeah. If there's a federal law regulating maritime commerce, who is the constituency that benefits from artificially constricting the amount of activity going on in American ports?
Yeah, and I'll say you have to use the word benefits in quotation marks, because in reality, in the long run, they're hurt more than anybody by it. Okay, but it's the merchant marine and the shipping industry, right? The shipbuilding industry, and then the merchant marine, and those
now,
two.
What are the merchant marines? As is that a government agency?
No, the merchant marine is just what we refer to as the sailors that. American sailors on board the very few ships, and I mean fewer than 100 ships.
Okay, so they're just workers on boats.
Yeah, they're just sailors. Yeah.
Okay, and why do they have such clout as to allow such destructive things to stand?
So the answer to that question, it's a two-part answer, because the most important thing is that the public that's getting, you have lots of instances of special interests that are able to organize and hire a couple of lobbyists and, buy off senators and congressmen. But the problem is, are there any organized interests against them? And here in the United States, the 300 million Americans that are getting screwed by this every day don't realize that they don't see the Jones Act in the increased price for everything that they buy.
Because there's not one elected official, a member of Congress, a member of the U.S. Senate who fights, who articulates the problem, because what? They live in this buddy system where you never tell the truth about the guy who sits next to you in exchange for him keeping your secrets.
Milton Friedman used to talk about this. Milton Friedman used to say that we're all more concerned about our, politically speaking, we're more concerned about our role as a producer of one thing than as a consumer of 1,000 things. And so the way that I've put it is that every special interest in America has a lobbyist, and every special interest in America has a lobbyist, but nobody represents the public interest.
So consumers need a stronger lobbying group to fight for getting rid of these artificial constrictions. Okay, so can we just run through the constrictions? So the Jones Act is a problem because that stops the free flow of vessels that would be transporting goods up coastlines on the water. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. And that would make, so if we had, if we had the coastline, if we had the coastwise trade, all of America's smaller ports would have a much bigger volume of traffic. And so there would be lots more ships that are smaller.
And you wouldn't need as many trucks.
And you could surge a bunch of small ships to these ports if you instead of depending on these huge mega ships.
The ports could handle this, or this would allow the big ports to not be the centers of so much stress right now.
Exactly.
It's causing the backup.
Exactly. So because when what Joe you're Biden dealing with now is a bottleneck.
When Joe, we're talking about Mario Loyola, and he's an expert in matters of system rigging. I don't know what is your particular area. He's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and
I actually had never occurred to me, and I write about a lot of different things, but I like expert in matters of system rigging. I think I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah, that's wonderful, because we need a national department of system rigging, so that there's one place where all the systems are rigged and we can at least look and see where all the destruction gets done, because this stuff is just so gross. I took myself off the track and I forget what I was going to ask you, but this is a disaster. And Joe Biden went on TV a few weeks ago in what I thought was embarrassing and self-defeating, where he drew attention to the problems in Los Angeles at the port there and basically took responsibility for it, because he started issuing orders and announcements about what he was going to make happen. And I thought, this is ridiculous. He can't make anything happen. This is union controlled. He won't go against the unions. So can you just dig into this a little bit? What is going on here? And why wouldn't the president of the United States just stand up and say, look, we've got to suspend the Jones Act, at least on a temporary basis, to free up the flow of goods? It's an emergency.
Yeah, and so I think it's not just the Jones Act, it's the entire blanket of regulations that's on these people. I mean, the really big problem right now is a shortage of truck drivers. And if you look at all the registration requirements for these truck drivers, we don't allow Mexican truck drivers into the United States. They could surge to Los Angeles and help relieve some
of this.
Is that
just going back to September 11th, or is that a different requirement?
No, they just have an exception under the free flow of goods under NAFTA and the successor to NAFTA.
Okay.
And so that's another thing that was, people put that in, the American sort of truckers put that in place, to protect them from Mexican competition, but now there aren't enough of them. Then the registration requirements to be able to get into the port, are really onerous.
And who runs the port and who makes those restrictions?
The ports are run by, typically, the city of Los Angeles runs those ports. In New York City, for example, you're familiar with the Port Authority. That's a compact of the state of New York.
And then is there a federal authority, like the feds control the airports in terms of policy, right? Even though they're
that's the Federal Aviation Administration. There's not an equivalent administration to the FAA for ports.
So this
there are federal regulators. There are federal regulators involved in different aspects of it, but it's basically just the states and cities run their ports. But it's under, so they protect their local constituents, and then there's another problem, which is that
One second, Mario, we got to take a quick break. This is so frustrating. I just want to spell it out for people so they can understand how government is the enemy from the things that government created that are a disaster that government won't fix because of the rigged system. We'll continue with Mario Loyola coming up on WTIC. It's WTIC. I can't stand how government stands in the way so frequently of having America work well. And for some reason, nobody's incentivized to tell the truth inside the political system. So we have people like our guest right now, Mario Loyola. He is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we've given him a new title. What did we say it is, Mario?
Specialist in matters related to system rigging.
Oh, that's too many words.
Matters of system.
You're an expert in system rigging.
Well, that makes it sound like I rigged the system.
Look, if you did, that would be wonderful. That would get a lot of people coming to your door looking to lobby you to rig their system.
I'm an expert in seeing how other people rig the system. That's what I try to look at. And I think that this gets back to a point, globalization has gotten a bad rap in the last 5 or 10 years. And, people know that a lot of American jobs have gone overseas. But you've got to understand that the reason that those jobs have gone overseas is not because of globalization. It's because It's because the United States has an uncompetitive level of regulation and taxation on its businesses.
You and talk about our ports like they're the worst in the world.
Yeah, they're the they're literally third world ports. They're the worst, and they're among the worst in the world in terms of capacity and efficiency. The Chinese have, I think, it would be really shocking to Americans to visit a Chinese port, because that makes, you know, we always thought of China as a underdeveloped country. China, if you go to the ports, China looks a lot more developed than we do. Now their ports are super efficient. They it's totally automated. A ship is in and out of there really fast. The containers are, you know, the containers get unloaded and
when
uploaded.
When you say automated, so a ship comes in and it's got hundreds of containers on it, all carrying goods. Are you saying there are computer-driven, self-driving forklifts, essentially, that can pull any of those containers off?
Yeah, all those cranes, the entire system of getting in and out of the port is automated.
And of course, unions won't allow that to happen here.
That's right.
And what else are the unions specific? Because they're my favorite pet peeve. I feel like they've destroyed the country, essentially.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I'm not against, I don't think that the problem is unions. I think the problem is government laws that protect unions from, that protect the, that rig the system in favor of unions.
Yes, that but protect them from competition. Unions, that's why the government created unions. What we have to get rid of that mechanism that's been empowered to destroy our efficacy as a nation. And it's bankrupted the state of Connecticut. And I know it's bankrupted other states too, this whole relationship. And we've just got to root it out. So you can say, you know, don't blame the heroin. It's the people who shoot it up, but, or the people who deal it. But if we can just get rid of the heroin here, which is the unions, will be much better off.
Well, so I don't think that the problem is the unions, Todd. I think that it's fine to unionize a workplace and say, look, boss, we're gonna bargain collectively for our stuff. The problem is that when the boss says, okay, you know, I don't agree with you, I'm gonna hire these other guys that are not members of the union, and then the government steps in and says, no, you can't hire people that are not members of the union, that's where you have a problem.
Yes, but you're right. And I'm not really disputing what you're saying. The only thing is, if you didn't have that mechanism, or if a union wasn't a generic thing, or a union is not a generic thing, it's something designed within the laws of the United States of America. And those laws have been tilted in such a way to give too much power. So there should not be a thing called a closed shop. That's what you're saying, right?
Oh, there absolutely should not. And in fact, the union laws that were put in place by Franklin Roosevelt during the New Deal, and, you know, one day people are going to wake up to how many of these problems began with the Roosevelt administration. But anyway, that's another pet peeve of mine.
Finish that thought, though. What about the New Deal? What happened?
Well, the New Deal is what put in place so many of the problems that we see today. The New Deal is what brought to America the uncompetitive level of regulation and taxation that we see today by dramatically increasing the federal government's power to regulate commerce of all kinds. I mean, it really upset the balance between federal and state governments, and just, it made, the New Deal is what made every issue in America a matter of national majority rule, because that's not the system that we had before the New Deal. And, you know, before the New Deal, states had to compete against each other for capital and for labor and for businesses by trying to achieve an optimal level of regulation and taxation. But the New Deal put in place this system that protected states, that overregulated and overtaxed.
And what's that protection per se?
Well, protections on the regulatory side are like, you know, agricultural marketing boards of all kinds. I mean, the basic protection is to break down the Constitution's limit on the ability of the federal government to regulate commercial transactions.
Mario Loyola, thank you so much. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great weekend.
We've got news next. Stay with us on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.